Yo, and welcome to another episode of the Anime Nano Podcast, Episode 3. So Hinano is out on vacation right now. I think she's getting ready to go to Otakon. With me, as always, is JP Meyer, who writes, Minaide Hazukishi. Hey, JP.
Yo.
Also with me today is DigiCarrot, who writes Beta Waffle.
Hi there.
Yo, and he has a British accent, which will make this show automatically cooler. And it's not just a normal one, it's like some crazy one, too. Right?
I'm not really sure that's quite the case.
Okay. If I understood what he said, I would answer. Just kidding. Alright. Let's start off with some American anime time news. Let's go to releases. So, this week I noticed there are like a billion box sets that are being released. See, ADD Films has Cromartie High School Complete Collection. Is that how you say it, JP?
I don't know, because it's like an American dude's name, I think, that they based it off of, so you can never guess how to pronounce it.
Yeah. Well, it's like
the name
Cromartie,
of an American baseball player.
It's a baseball player?
Yeah, it's an American baseball player who played in Japan. All the high school names in the show are named after American baseballers who played in the Japanese leagues.
Oh, wow. I didn't even realize that. I think it's like Cromartie in the like katakana, isn't it?
Probably.
Yeah, I guess the whole series is for sale. This one's like really, really wacky gag anime. I liked it a lot. I didn't see the whole thing though, so I might pick up the box set. Let's see. Also, there's Daphne and the Brilliant Blue box set. I never saw that one. Has anyone else seen it?
Can't say I did. That one's rather expensive, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, actually. It's only 650 minutes, but it's like $150 US. Also, Excel Saga Complete Collection. That's the best show ever.
That's got to be at least the second time they've released, like, a complete collection of that.
Well, hey, whatever makes money for ADV.
I hope they don't cut the ADV notes out of that one. Like, they cut them out on the Abenobashi thin pack, and, like, it wasn't as fun, and, like, Excel Saga is really crazy with its references, so I hope that they wouldn't do that.
Yeah, that'd be pretty weak. Let's see. Helsing. I saw Helsing, like, years and years ago. So, I guess it's the whole set. What else? Jubei-chan 2? I have to mention it because it's a ninja.
Excellent.
And I guess that's about it.
Well, that's not it.
What other anime?
There's also the Bandai Visual just put up their little teaser website for upcoming release of Gunbuster. They don't have any information on it. Just for the fact, it just says, wait for further information with hard work and guts. And hard work and guts is what Gunbuster is all about. So I got super excited when I read that. It's at BandaiVisual.us/Gunbuster.
Alright, and that's a mecha anime, right?
Oh, it is.
That okay. Just makes it awesome.
Alright. You know, guys, I actually watched the first episode of Innocent Venus, which is a mecha anime, and I actually liked it. So, I might have to change my stance on all mecha anime. You know,
you have to just watch every single one ever.
Yeah, well, there was still some bad CG in it, but it was, like, kind of acceptable, so I might keep watching it. Okay, well, that's all for the American Anime Time releases. Let's see, let's go to the Anime Nano mailbag, as I like to call it. It should really be, like, the comment bag. So for the past few episodes, for the past few times, I've been asking people to send us questions so we can answer them. And this time, a lot of people asked us stuff. So let me just go through the list. Wonky Donkey asks, I was just wondering how realistic is a spoken Japanese in anime? I only ever watch anime and I've only seen one movie, Kashern. Do people in Japan talk like people do in anime? So the answer is no, I don't think people really talk like that in Japan.
Hinata was mentioned though that in the doramas, the people actually do speak pretty much like they will do in general conversation. So, like, that's actually kind of accurate. But, like, anime, you know, first of all, anime, you know, you've got, like, mecha pilots or, like, samurais and stuff. You know, you can't really have too much, like, realistic conversation, like Japanese, going on, because it's not like everyday life and stuff.
Well, you can, but you kind of sound like a retard too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just the same as, like, if you're watching American cartoons and you start talking, like, you know, the people in American cartoons, like, in Thundercats, where Lion-O's always talking, like, oh my gosh, poisonous gas!
Or it might be, like, if you watch, like, The Sopranos and start trying to talk like that, complete with the Joyzy accent.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, you should definitely shouldn't go around shouting their lightning kick or any other, giant robot special name moves in general conversation.
Well, I call out all my moves in real life. That's really? Just how I roll. So, okay. Bjorn asks, what are really the main attracting point that attracts people? Animation, sounds, quality, uses of hot girls? What's your opinion, or what attracts you? So, yeah. Well, you know, whenever I watch anime, I think there's a lot of different aspects that I pay attention to. Of course, the story is important, because if there's no story, that is kind of lame. The animation quality is important. Like, if it looks really, really bad, you know, if it looks really, really good, I'll probably be more likely to watch it. The op and ed, the beginning song and the end song, really have a lot to do with how much I like anime too, I think. Like, I've noticed that the songs, like the anime with songs that are really, really good, I watch them anyway, even if they're really, really bad. But that's because I don't...
It just gives you a good impression.
Yeah, yeah. And like, if they fit the tone of the anime. And plus, I never skip over the beginning or the end song anyway. Hot girls are always good too. What do you guys think?
Let's see. Usually, like, I mean, it sounds kind of retarded, but like, if it's done properly, I get super pumped when I watch like good action anime. Like, for instance, I just saw episode like 10, I think, like the last couple episodes of Black Lagoon, and when how like the character suggests, like, you know, Levy and the maid, I forget what her name is, you two should just beat the crap out of each other until you've got it all settled. Like, that got me bugging out so much. Like, even though I try to, like, have this sort of cultivated, like, academic air to myself, just, like, stupid crap like that just gets me so excited. So also, things like justice, love, friendship, hard work and guts, hot blood and passion, like, just when the characters get really excited about everything, like, it, like, bleeds over by osmosis into, like, me and my fun watching the show.
So do you make the pose that those Gaijin 4 Koma guys make when you're watching those kind of anime?
I'll do that if I'm not making the poses that the characters are making.
Okay. So you're like the guy from Muteki Kanma Musume, then, when he's watching, like, the Power Rangers parody?
Yes.
Okay.
I think he's more like Guy from the desk.
I'm also like that.
Okay. Let's see. What are your favorite anime artists? Yeah, I think he means music. Well, I wrote a post, so you can read that. But basically, it's Roundtable featuring Nino, Yuki. Oh, I also like Chieko Kawabe, who did Sakura Kiss, because that's a really, really catchy song.
And who did Naru Osaka in the live-action Sailor Moon.
Yeah, I haven't seen that, though. I need to watch that.
Yes, you need to watch it.
And she did Be Your Girl in the Elfin Lied op, or the Elfin Lied Ed. Is it Ed? Do you say that Ed?
I don't know.
Do you guys like anime artists, or do you not pay attention to music at all?
I buy a lot of CDs, actually. Well, it's all generic stuff. I like Kotaku a lot. I blind buy pretty much any Kajiura CD what comes out, regardless of if I actually watch the show or not. Maya Sakamoto, I think I've got all her albums, but Roundtable as well. Yeah, I really like Roundtable.
Yeah, Roundtable rules.
I tend to pay more attention to, like, the scores and the BGM. Like, I really like Yuki Kajiura and Kohei Tanaka, who is also who does the score for Gunbuster, as well as Sakura Taisen. He also did all of the like the vocal songs for all of the Sakura Taisen musicals, as well as like the instrumental ones.
Hmm.
Yeah, I'm actually thinking of like vocal artists that I like listen to a lot, but like I know on my iPod I have something like 2 gigs of Sakura Taisen soundtracks, like just like alone.
Wow. Yeah, I should pay more attention to the BGM too. Like, I don't really pay attention that much, or as much as I should. I did notice that the BGM in Fate Stay Night was a little wacky, though, at some points. Okay, that's the next question. So Chaotic Rockwell asks, what is the deal with 4chan? I see a lot of hate for it, but I've never been able to tell why. Not that I've been able to navigate their hideous webpage. Yeah, I don't know what the deal with 4chan is, because I don't go there either. Do you know, JP?
The deal with why everyone hates them?
Yeah.
Okay, 4chan has, like, a whole... It's supposed to be, like, a message board, and it has a whole ton of different forums for, like, whatever sort of images it is, you know, whether it's, like, anime images or, like, random images of other things like sports or cars or whatever.
Uh-huh.
The thing that people hate about 4chan is the random forum, which is called B. Like, it gets, like, a huge amount of traffic. I think it's pretty high up on, like, the like most trafficked, like, internet forums.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that people hate it is because it's, like, the lowest possible common denominator of, like, human intelligence. Like, there's there are infamous things that have happened there. Like, something, like, this one person, like, wrote this, like, post that was, like, this warped inversion of Densha Otoko.
Uh-huh.
It was about how he was, like, how, like, his parents were leaving, like, for the night or something, and, like, how him and his sister wanted to get it on, and then, like, narrating everything that happened, and including when they eventually did do it. So, like, it gets this reputation as being, like, really, really, really not safe for human consumption. Like, I hadn't gone to 4chan for the longest time, because I couldn't navigate the site either, so I just thought that the entire site was like that, and it wasn't just, like, that one forum B that was really, really, really bizarre.
Huh. See, I thought 4chan was just, like, a image board, too. Like, just a normal image board. And I used to go there, I think, to find pictures, but I just use Donburu now.
I use both. Like, I like to trawl through some of the forums on 4chan every, like, couple days to, like, look for good pictures.
Mm-hmm. So was B stand for bizarre?
No, it's random.
Oh, okay.
Like, sometimes they stand for what they're supposed to be. Like, A is anime,
mm-hmm.
but then you have ones like B is random.
Okay. Yeah, and, like, I just click on all of them, and I think I reached the Guro one time. So I didn't want
to...
They
also had a Loli / Shota one, but they had to take it off because, like, they were getting into, like, legal trouble with soliciting donations, but having that, like, on their website.
Yeah.
So okay. Now you have to go to not 4chan for that.
Alright, so yeah, that's the deal with 4chan. That sounds like a Seinfeld question. What's the deal with 4chan? It's like that question Hirano asked last time.
Also, and then, like, Kramer slides in the door and he's like, whoa, I just clicked on this. And Jerry and George would be like, what is it? And he'd, like, show him the computer, and then all sorts of wacky hijinks would ensue for the rest of the 20 minutes.
That's what would happen if Seinfeld's still on the air.
Yeah.
Okay. Another question. Andrew asks, also, why are characters with white hair seemingly always evil?
I think that's a good question. I really have no idea. Maybe ask John knows. He gets really weird questions like that. Like, why are, like, the most pure-hearted girls always clumsy?
Because it makes them moe.
I guess.
Well, I think all the girls with gray hair are hot. Like, I don't understand why their hair is gray prematurely or why that's hot, but I think that's kind of hot.
And you're really specifically referring to Matsuri from Ichigo Mashimaro.
I didn't say that. You know, Ilya from Fate Stay Night has gray hair, too. Wait, she's a loli, too.
I would have made fun of that one if I thought of it first.
Okay, here's another question. Also, JP Meyer, did you have anything to do with Sour Patch Kids' mascot being listed as Tsundere on Wikipedia?
Well, kind of. One of my friends had found those Sour Patch Kids videos on YouTube, so, like, he went over and changed the added the Sour Patch Kid to the Wikipedia page, and then he linked me to those videos. So in a way, I kind of am implicit in that. I think by now it's been reverted.
Yeah, I actually looked at the Wikipedia page when I saw that comment, and it was still on there. That was, like, a few days ago, though.
Mm-hmm. It disappeared when I last looked a couple of days ago.
Because you guys are always needing to check the Wikipedia page for Tsundere.
Just to see if there's any new ones that popped up. Okay. Regine asks, why did Tokyopop start publishing American manga? They should call it US Pop or something, but yeah. Any response to that?
I think it's because it's cheaper.
It probably is cheaper to license it.
Well, they don't have to license it. They just have to pay the artist.
Yeah, that's true.
From my understanding, when I was talking to like some Tokyopop representatives at New York Comic Con, one of the things that comes up is that like mainstream people that go to Barnes & Nobles and stuff like are more likely to get something like an American manga or like a non-Japanese manga because like they don't have to deal with any of the cultural stuff. It's sort of like automatically like done through like an American sensibility. There's no need for localization or like learning cultural knowledge or reading footnotes at the back of the manga. Like, you know, they can just pick it up and enjoy it as something like just because they like, you know, the comic format.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of interesting, actually, that the mainstream would go towards the like the American or original English language manga rather than the Japanese manga. Like, I don't know if the normal person who walks into Barnes & Noble would like realize which one is American.
Well, for starters, there's the fact that the American ones open like an English book does.
Oh, okay.
Like, people do get confused the first time they pick up a manga and they open it up and they get that message like, hey, you're reading this backwards.
Yeah.
Ironically, the first time when I tried to read an American manga, I think it was DramaCon,
mm-hmm.
I like tried to open it like that and it was like, oh wait, this is American. I have to read it the proper way.
Did it have a message on there saying, stop, this is not really manga. You're reading it wrong.
I can't remember, but I know that the Mega Tokyo ones do.
Mm-hmm. That's funny.
Like, we don't have to flip this. This is written in English.
Yeah, I've never actually read any of those American ones. I haven't seen them at, like, Barnes & Noble. Well, I don't really go into real stores very often, though, so that could be one of the reasons.
I've seen a few, but most of them seem so hung up on being American manga that I'm not convinced you wouldn't need liner notes anyway. Because most of them tend to use a lot of the otaku terminology in them. So if you're not an anime fan already, I'm not sure you'd actually be able to follow them anyway.
Oh yeah, like DramaCon, you know, it's about anime conventions, isn't it? So
yeah, but I mean, there's just like lots of, like, I know, I think like Cosmo Girl runs like runs some OEL manga in it. Like, they just started doing it like this year or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like something like DramaCon. It's just like a random sort of, like, if an American did a shoujo, like did like a shoujo manga and wasn't like trying to make it Japanese or anything.
Uh-huh.
Like, that's what it would be.
Well, I've seen a lot of Tokyopop manga that are just like totally random. You know, like I saw a Family Guy. You know, I don't know
but
if
that
you
thing
can
is
call
freaking
it.
Weird.
Yeah, I don't know if you can call it manga. You know, if it's
I think they call it cinemanga. But, like, yeah. That's so weird because the way that those work is that they, like, take the the individual shots from the show and add, like, word bubbles to it.
Uh-huh.
But it's weird with Family Guy because, like, you know, you have all these, like, shots on the page, like comic panels. But because Family Guy always has those scenes where, like, they'll be talking and then be like, Peter, that reminds me of the time when you tried to stop that tank in Tiananmen Square. And, like, then they cut to, like a joke based on that.
Yeah.
So when you, like, open up the Cinemanga thing and you look at it, there'll be, like, these pages of, like, these panels of, like, everybody sitting there. And then, like, that one panel that's, like, what's going to happen next. So it looks really, like, out of place when you just see that, like, stuck in.
Yeah. Before
you've gotten to, like, read the, like, panels and everything.
Yeah. Well, you know, that actually works as a pretty good segue into something I wanted to talk about, which was this issue of, like, translating light novels into anime or translating manga into anime, and, like, the preconceived notions that people have of, you know, the manga's always going to be better than the anime, so I won't watch the anime, or, you know, the anime can never live up to the manga, and, like, just how people, you know, expect it to be, and like, either they don't want anything to be changed in it, or they do expect things to be changed because they don't want to see the same thing over and over again. You know, so it's sort of like with the Family Guy manga, where you've seen the episode already, and then you read the manga, and it's like, why am I reading this anyway?
Yeah, like, it's kind of weird, because people seem to keep saying, like, oh, the manga is always better, but a lot of the times whenever I'm watching like anime based on manga, they seem to be pretty much like interchangeable. Like I'm just remember some of the shows I've seen, like GTO or GTO is the one that I most commonly use, where it just seemed like the exact same thing. Like Genshi Ken, another one that just seemed like word for word, mm-hmm. like right out of the manga. Like I know there were like it seems like the times that were actually doesn't like where the original is better is where it sort of really depends on its medium. Like if you've got like Air Gear, where the like whole point of reading an Ogre manga is because Ogre's art is really awesome, mm-hmm. and like you can't animate that because the budget would have to be like incredible. Or things like video games and Arrowgate that get turned into anime because like they have to choose like which story path they want to do, yeah. or they have to like completely rewrite the entire thing.
Well, because those games have like hours and hours and hours of dialogue, don't they? They have to
read
through.
Yeah, and they have like hours and they have like paths and paths and paths full of hours and hours and hours of dialogue. So like you can only really do one.
Yeah.
The light novel thing I haven't really got a good like sense yet, because I've only read like a little bit of the Haruhi light novel, and I haven't read like any other ones. Mm-hmm. I actually thought the like just compared to the little bit that I read, like the Haruhi anime was better than the light novel, because the light novel just seemed really kind of like dry and stale. Like it's his first novel. Oh, actually, I had read some of the Full Metal Panic light novels, and it was kind of the same way. Like the animes for both of those. I guess it's also the fact that like you have Kyoto Anime doing both.
Uh-huh.
Like you know, the animes just seemed like really fun and lively, while like the text just seemed dull and dry.
Well, do you know which one came first?
Which one?
For Full Metal Panic, like did the I know the manga's before the anime, right?
Right. The first thing or the light novels.
Okay.
There's like a million of them too.
Yeah.
And so they have great titles with like where they'll have like a Japanese verb and then like an English phrase, like Odoru Very Merry Christmas, Dancing Very Merry Christmas, like that. A lot of the like weird episode titles in the first season are based on like the names of like the chapters or the light novels that they're adapted from.
Hmm. Yeah, well, I think it's kind of unrealistic to think that, you know, the experience with something in one media is going to be exactly the same as another media. Like, you know, people who read Jurassic Park the book are totally going to be disappointed when they watch Jurassic Park the movie, unless they just want to see dinosaurs eat people. So I think it's a good idea to like keep realistic when you're watching anime or reading manga, you know, for the media that you're watching.
I think another interesting comparison is the Rurouni Kenshin like animes, because like the manga is better than the anime, especially when the anime like overtakes the manga and they had to like make stuff up.
Uh-huh.
They had the horrible storylines. But then, like, the prequel anime is, like, better than everything else, like, in the entire, like, franchise. So, it can kind of go either way.
Yeah, I guess it just all depends on
who's doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely the case. I mean, things like most of the Clamp manga, when they're adapted, the anime versions tend to be much more fleshed out than the manga. Chobits, for example, is very, very light read. There's not much material actually in there. They padded that out significantly when they did the animated version. For better and for worse, obviously. The animated version of Angelic Layer was a lot better than the manga, though.
Hmm.
I think when I was like first watching Chobits, I wanted to like read the manga to get ahead faster, and I was like, oh, I've seen like 10 episodes already. I'm probably, you know, starting like book 3, and I realized that I was still only like halfway into book 1 because they were padding it out so much.
So they didn't have a whole chapter on Chi getting panties?
They had about 2 panels on Chi getting panties.
Yeah.
And they turned like to an entire episode in the anime, didn't they?
Yeah. One of the best ones.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we've talked enough about that. There's another thing. I think, I can't remember who wrote a post about it, but it was something about being honest with yourself, and I thought about, like, whether or not you actually admit to people that you watch anime. Like, in some places, you know, like Canada, where anime is considered porn, like, equal to porn, it might be harder to tell your friends, yeah, I'm just gonna go home and watch some anime. So, I was wondering what you guys do about it. Like, if you're open about it, or what?
Well, I pile my spare capsule toys on my desk at work. It's a bit out of the sky. It's the fact I'm an anime fan. It makes it a bit obvious when I've got, like, Yomiko Reedman sitting on my desk.
So do your coworkers think you're weird, or...?
Yeah.
But you also have a nerd book bag, so people will see it, and, like, if they know anime, they'll usually say something to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, with me, it sort of eventually gets to the point where I, like, say it, because people will be like, what are you doing? And they'll be like, I'm a grad student, I'm going to get my PhD, and they're like, oh, really? What are you planning on researching? And then the answer being anime, so. And then, like, from there, we'll usually get into, you know, I get in some sort of discussion of what I want to do, or what I like, or whatever, especially if they have questions. And the fact saying, oh, I want to research it, that usually prompts people to want to ask all their questions that they might have about it. So I tend not to actually get too many, like, weird looks or whatever.
Yeah, well, because you're being academic about it, so it's okay, right?
Except when I'm like, oh man, justice and friendship conquer all!
Yeah. Well, I used to tell my friends, you know, that I watch anime, and they're always just, they always be like, oh, hang on, are you gonna go home and watch, like, that anime porn now? Like, they won't call it anime, they call it anime porn. So I kinda just stopped.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I just said, my response would be, it's not porn, and yes, I'm watching it. But,
It doesn't help.
What's that?
It doesn't help when you get news stories about people browsing lolly porn in libraries, getting arrested for having real child porn in the houses.
Yeah, that's bad. Those pedophiles are giving us all a bad name.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was actually on Anime News Network, they had, for their answer man for, like, this week, they were like, oh, so what are your thoughts on Lolicon? And it was like, and it was really just sort of into, I really hate it because it has the potential to give, like, anime in general a really, really, like, bad name and cause all sorts of problems when now it's not, like, porn and Pokemon, but it's, like, violent child porn.
Uh-huh.
Although what's kind of weird is, like, I mean, I don't know, it's hard for me to kind of define Lolicon. Like, if I take shows like Nanoha or something, I might not necessarily know if I didn't think like Lolicon, like if I didn't know that Lolicon existed, like if I would necessarily think that that was like child porn for some people.
Mm-hmm.
It's just because their clothes are really modest. Like she has this like, you know, this full length like dress and like long sleeves and everything.
Nanoha?
It's not like skimpy. Yeah. It's not like the skimpy skirts in Sailor Moon.
Well, I thought, I saw the first episode of that a while back. And I thought I remember seeing, like, you know, the transformation sequence. Don't they always, like, get totally naked? I mean, and it's not like, you know, it's all whited out and stuff, right?
Yeah, the first season they do that a lot. Like, I think they maybe had, like, one transformation sequence in, like, the second season.
Uh-huh.
The second season was, like, also a million times less pedo than the first one.
Okay.
One of the other reasons why the second season was infinity times better than the first season and why I'm so angry with myself for not having watched it like a year and a half ago when it aired.
Yeah, I was actually thinking of watching that. I mean, I'd heard about it being really, really awesome, so I tried watching the first episode and I just couldn't get past like the, I mean, she's like supposed to be 5 years old or something, right?
Like nine?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, that's actually another one too, was how like when I thought back about it in general, like a lot of the magical girl shows before Sailor Moon had like pretty young girls like in like elementary school and stuff like getting their magic powers. Like, and some of them had times. I think Magical Angel Creamy Mommy, like her transformation scene, like she turns into like a grown up when she transforms, but she's still like, you know, eight or whatever. And Cardcaptor Sakura, they're like eight or ten or something too. Like, so it's not like, you know, when I thought about it, it's not like something that's like they like just thought of to like cater to like creepy lolicon fans. Like, you know, it's something that's part of the genre.
Mm-hmm. So since it's, so are you saying since it's institutionalized, it's okay? Or
it's more like because it's institutionalized, like it might be harder to tell like on the surface that it is something that bad or naughty or pedo-y.
Well, wasn't child porn only outlawed in Japan like a few years ago?
I think so, actually. Yeah.
It's like really weird. Like they didn't have it banned, you know, until like the 90s, I think.
Like I also know, I think like Sweden or something like recently too, they hadn't done it, but like case it was more just like nobody had ever like they never like really came across people that had it or anything, so it wasn't like something they needed to outlaw.
Yeah. Well, still, I mean, in Japan, it would make sense for them to outlaw it even sooner because
they're Japan and they're weird.
Because they're Japan. Okay. Let's see. So yeah, those are the two topics I wanted to talk about. And I think we kind of got a little off topic, but that's okay.
Getting off topic is half the fun.
Yeah.
You get more value for your listening because you get other things involved.
That is true. Okay. Let's see. What else do you want to talk about? Anything?
Did I mention something before the start that we just forgot to write in the channel?
Oh, yeah. What was that?
What shows are you still watching?
Oh, yeah.
How many did you start with?
Well, I watched all of them. I mean,
wow.
I just watched every single like first episode, and I tried maybe a lot of second episodes, but it's whittled down now. Let me figure out which anime shows I'm going to keep, though. Zero No Tsukaima. I stopped watching
Tsuyokis.
Clearly
the best one.
Huh?
Because Zero No Tsukaima is clearly the best show of the season.
Le Chave...
That's if you're not counting Honey and Clover.
Shubarie.
Because I know, like, I've watched a lot of first episodes, but I've dropped down to, like, maybe only three or so shows.
Mm-hmm. Well, Chevalier isn't going to be... did I say that right?
I don't know. I'm, like, Japanese, except for French, so I don't really know anything about France.
Okay. Oh, Muteki Kambo Musume is... definitely gotta be on that. Such a good show. So you said you didn't like it, right, JP?
No, I just said it was really, really retarded.
Oh. Let's see, Zaisen Jotaro. Oh man, that's such a good show.
In like a glass fleet way.
Yeah. How about you, Digi?
I tend to work the other way. I wait until people actually say something's good before wasting my time actually watching it.
Oh, okay. So you just read all the reviews and stuff, huh?
Yeah, it saves a lot of time.
Like, I haven't watched that many shows, like, you know, I've watched, not counting things like OAVs or ONAs, like the New Gundam one. Like, I mean, it's just been, like, Zero No Tsukaima, Honey and Clover, Muteki Kambo Musume, like, Welcome to NHK.
Oh, yeah, NHK.
Those are really the only shows I've got, like, further than, like, one or two episodes in.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, most of these shows have only gotten to, like, the first, what, four or five, right?
Yeah, but I mean, these are, you know, a lot of the shows I've only watched, like, one or two, and that was it. Mm-hmm. Before I gave up, like, Tsuyokiss, or, I probably actually might drop Welcome to NHK just because I've read the manga, and it's not as good as the manga, so it's not really something I need to watch.
Well, you're watching it just so you can figure out, or you just so you can see, like,
what's different.
Yeah.
I need to do an analysis of comparing the, like, Eroge heroine from the manga with the one in the anime, because they look pretty different.
Just entering now is James Krasta from Anime My Ass.
Anime My Ass.
Hey, James, what's up?
Not much. Just, actually was watching Oran.
Okay, I'm going to put James Crest on the spot. Is there anything you want to talk about?
No, I don't really have very much to... You mean summer series, or what?
Yeah.
Or just, like, anything.
Hmm.
If you don't, we'll grill you with all of the questions from the mailbag that we were answering earlier.
All right, I'd rather that. Grill me with the questions, then.
Okay, so do you tell other people that you watch anime?
No, actually, it seems like it's a pretty sensitive topic for me, and I think it would take more time to explain to them what anime is than, unless they actually watch it themselves, then I don't mind talking about it.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Some of the other ones. What attracts you to anime? Animation, sounds, quality, or uses of hot girls?
I would so be on the uses of hot girls.
Hey, you know what? I forgot to ask a certain question. There's one that I haven't asked yet. It's from Kane.
What's that?
Yeah, okay. So this is a question from Kane. And Kane asks, when you watch a sub, are you watching it from one and the same fan sub group? Or do you pick some random subbing groups?
Usually I go with the ones I know before, if they have it. Otherwise, I'll just pick whatever.
Yeah, like, if there's a fan sub group that's really popular that I've seen before, then I usually choose them.
Yeah, I tend to have a few that I stick with. And, you know, those change over time. Fan subgroups keep disappearing and coming back.
Yeah. Like, there's some that are always good.
Version comes out first. Like, I tend not to care too much about who's doing it, since I'm really just reading the subtitles to pick up on the whatever dialogue I missed from my own listening comprehension.
Cool. Well, I guess that's it for this episode of the Anime Nano Podcast. Thanks to my guest for showing up. JP Meyer, as always. Thanks, JP.
Yay.
Thanks, DigiCarrot.
I think I can go to sleep now.
Yeah. It's like 12 o'clock over there where DigiCarrot lives.
Well, it's 1 o'clock in the morning now, actually.
Oh, crazy. All right, go get some sleep. And thanks, James Craster, for showing up for like a few minutes and introducing this weird echo.
Yeah, I don't understand why I create an echo. That's... I'll try a different setup next time.
Okay.
Maybe I... Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, thanks for listening, and please keep the questions coming.
And if your questions are kind of vague, like, then we get to have fun trying to interpret what they mean and giving all sorts of different answers.
Cool. Well, this has been another episode of the Anime Nano Podcast. This is Hang Trong signing off. Later.
Bye-bye.
Later.
Bye.